Mo'adim L'Simcha. So I want to speak tonight on a hopefully not so controversial topic that doesn't have to do with, as I promised not to do, saying Halal Yom HaSmut, all these different things. First of all, I want to dedicate tonight's learning L'Zeichar Nishmas Tzvi Ben Moshe, Hillel Grossman's father, one of our members of our Shir, whose father passed away, Levi was today. The learning should be Lilun and Nishmaso. We already start off with a story. I was reminiscing on this story. This is a true story, as opposed to some of the other ones. When I first came to Yerushalayim in my year in Israel, I was zeichah to go to Yeshivat HaKotel. And as you know, where that location is, based on the name. And so we got there, and basically what happens is that they have a lunch, and then they have, I think, 2 hours of the Rosh Yeshiva, or the Dean, whatever you want to call him, speaking, and basically giving the rules and regulations. Okay. So we being the rich Americans, we get there for the lunch, and the lunch comes out, and actually this was, now thinking back at it, this was the best lunch that we were ever served in the Yeshiva, but of course it wasn't good enough for us, and we had a lot of money, it was our first day, so many of us went out to get these stuff to eat. Some of my friends, we went out to get falafel. Fine. So we go to afterwards to hear what the Rosh Yeshiva has to say for 2 hours, and the first thing that he starts with is you need to be very careful. You're in Yerushalayim, specifically when you're in Yerushalayim, you need to be very careful of the people who are dishonest. And specifically, there's a falafel store, the guy who has a fake hashkacha, he's not kosher, don't ever eat there. Oh, we ate there the first day. And my friend looks over to me and he goes, can you imagine our first time in Israel? We're in the old city, the holiest city in the world, and we commit a sin in the old city itself. What a terrible thing. Now that I think about it, that's kind of what the question is. Is it really true that there's a Kedushas Yerushalayim that makes it to the point where we can say that if a person sins in Yerushalayim, it's worse? What is the actual Kedusha? We know the Kedushas of Yerushalayim when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. That's not a question. Nobody's going to question that. When Beis HaMikdash was there, it was unbelievable. The question becomes, what happens nowadays? What do we consider the Kedusha and the ramifications of a Kedusha of Yerushalayim? So first, I want to start off on the right side. It doesn't have a number to it. This was a letter that was written. You have to guess the author. That's the first part of this year. It was written Gimel Sivan Tavshim Chav Zayin, which was 1967, not even a week after the Six-Day War, probably the last of the days of the Six-Day War, written in Yerushalayim. Listen to this beautiful letter. Bios ki biyomim eila, etzli Hashem yisparach shemo chasun v'floisov, imanu. But Hashem showed us his chesed that he does with us, and his miracles. Gavar aleinu chasdo, the ro'o kol asei ha'aretz as yeshuas elokeinu, ki lo yitosh Hashem es amu ba'avur shemo ha'gadol. Beautiful writing. Yitzeinu me'afelu la'ora. He took us out of avelus to beautiful aura, to the light. U'me'yagun l'simcha baruchum baruch shemo. Asher sam nafshenu b'chayim lo nasam lamot regleinu. He didn't let us die on the hands of the bad people. B'ro rachama b'chasov zarcho gam. Not just that he let us live, but also the chasto, he had mercy on us, and chesed, that what did he give us? The shachru shel ha-kosel ha-merari. And he gave us the kosel ha-merari, shir beis mikdashenu svartenu. Right? And the sherech, right? And right by har habayis, it belongs to us. It's all part of ours. And then this person is going to discuss the inyan about going on top of har habayis, which is a tremendous question. He also discusses about helicopters, airplanes going through there. So if you were to say who wrote this tshuva, it's kind of obvious that it's probably Rav Kook, somebody from the Zionist plane. Right? So this was written by Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef writes this tshuva, Mamish, the last day of the Six-Day War, and look what he writes about Yom Yerushalayim and what Hashem gave us. And the truth is, one of the very few complaints I have against my parents is that, unfortunately, I did not live through the 67 war and see the outward miracles. Baruch Hashem, though, I wasn't born, because my parents were married in 1967, so it's good I wasn't born before the war, because actually, as I said before, my parents were actually the first plane that landed in Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz into Yerushalayim. They actually spent a few days in Cyprus, The American government said it was safer there than in Yerushalayim because they were still fighting. And they were the first plane to land in Yerushalayim. And as my parents tell me, that just everybody knew Mashiach was coming. The miracles and that you saw people would come up to you, dance, and this, it was just an unbelievable sight. Unfortunately, I wasn't zeichet to see that, but just to hear what happened. And the truth is also, you hear from the Rosh Yeshiva, from all the spectrums, recognize that this day was extremely holy. And that's something that we have to recognize on the outset, that this day is much, much different than Yom HaAtzmaut. And the simple thing is, the Kedusha Yerushalayim, what we got back, there's no shaila about. It's not a question. In fact, not only is it not a question, it is a question because there are so many questions about it. We have to recognize that when Yerushalayim comes back into our hands, all of a sudden, you have a shaila about, can you go on to Har HaBayis, which you never had before. For 1900 years, this was a theoretical shaila, now it was a real shaila. So what's very interesting when we discuss this is there's a very, very famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Raivad in number one, specifically speaking about what the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is nowadays. And that has become a famous Rambam, says as follows. If you just look, let's start with just Tesvav, even though the other part is underlined. Lefichach, makrivim hakorbanos kulon. You're allowed to be makriv korbanos. So basically what the Rambam asserts, which I'll say again, but in the underlined part, is that the Kedusha Rishona, Shekitcha Shlomo, Shehu, this is in the line before, Shehu Kidesh, Ha'azar of Yerushalayim, L'shatam Yekitcha L'asa Labo, that when Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadesh Yerushalayim, when he built the Beis HaMikdash on it, that was a Kedusha La'asid Lavo. Not just a Kedusha that would be for the time that a Beis HaMikdash would stand, but a Kedusha La'asid Lavo, meaning nowadays it would still stand. L'fichach, and listen to the Lashon of the Rambam, Makirim HaKarbanos Kulon, that a person can be makriv all the Karbanos, Afal Pisha Ein Sham Bayis. That even though there's no bias there, you can still, this is an unbelievable line, the Ochlim Kochikalim, the Chola Azora, you can eat Kochikalim on top of the Bahar Bayis, Afal Pishahi, Chirva, the Eino, Mukulabas Mechitzas, the Ochlim Kochikalim, the Lysa Shane, the Chol Yushalayim, Afal Pishahi, Ain Sham Chomos, Shakadusha, Rishonu Kuchalashat, the Kadusha Lazababa. This is an unbelievable line of the Rambam, where he gets it from, is very, very questionable. Where he basically says, you want to bring korbanos nowadays, don't worry about it. Maisa sheni, maisa anything, go ahead, you can go on Yerushalayim because the Kedusha remains with us. The Lama on the Omer, B'mikdash and Tatsdayin, why do I say this? B'mikdash Yerushalayim, Kedusha Rishon, Kedusha Lashavah, how can I have the chutzpah saying this? Because the Kedusha Shar Eretz Yisrael, the Inyan Shvius, that when it comes to the Kedusha of the entire Eretz Yisrael, when we speak about Shvius or Maisa, when we talk about the Shemitah year, when we talk about giving Maaser Kiyotza Behem, Lo Kitchel Asilavo, the truth is, that Kedusha is not Lasilavo. That Kedusha stopped with the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. However, for some reason we still keep it. Lefi Sheh Kedusha HaMikdash V'Yushalayim Uvnei HaShchina V'Shchina Ene B'Teima. When it comes to Kedusha of Yushalayim, there is a Shchina Sheshorah, and you can't take the Shchina away. You can burn our Beis HaMikdash, you can do whatever you want. The Shechina is Shura in Yerushalayim, very special than it is in any other part of the world. The Hare, who Omer, right, so then he goes on basically and he says that this tremendous idea about the difference with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And what basically the Rambam says is a Chiddush Nifla, and that is that Yerushalayim has an inherent Kedusha that cannot be taken away even with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. As you would imagine, many, many people disagree with this Rambam. Just to give you an idea, first of all, what the ramifications of that are, besides bringing korbanos, the ramifications are extraordinary, in that you can come up with a lot of other different scenarios according to the Rambam. For example, the Mincha Shlomo, from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, was asked the following question. He was asked, this is a good question, there's a sefer called the Bikur Yaakov, and the Bikur Yaakov says, according to the Shita of the Rambam, that a person has to, that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is still around, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is still around. During Sukkot Chol HaMoed, we only take the Lulav and Esrog. Why? Zecher LeMikdash. However, we know the Gemara tells us that during, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, Midaraisa from the Torah, obligated a person to take Lulav and Esrog the entire week. So according to the Bikur Yaakov, the Rambam seems to hold this way. And therefore a person is Chayav, certainly if he lives in Israel, to go to Yerushalayim every day of Chol Hamoed to be mekayim the mitzvah midoraisa. That would mean, according to this as well, that if a person was in Tel Aviv in the morning and he did lulav and esrog, and now he goes to daven mincha in by the Kotel, he has to shake lulav again, right? Because midoraisa, he didn't fulfill his obligation. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Aruch goes through this and basically says this isn't true. Specifically because many disagree with the Rambam. If we look at the proponent, obviously, who always disagrees with the Rambam is the Ravid. If you look on the left side at the Ravid, and what the Ravid has to say. The Ravid says, Omar Avram, on the left side, Svaris Atmohi, this Svara is the Das Yachid, Zeh Velo Yadati Mi'ein Lo, right? I don't know where he got this from. This is actually a parable lashon compared to what the Ravid could say. V'kama Mekomus V'mishnah, in Ein Mikdash Yikrivi, and then he quotes many Mishnayos that are against this. And basically he gives two proofs, I'll just do them outside. The first proof that he gives is that the Mishnah says in Maaser Sheni that when it comes to the Peros of Maaser Sheni, if the Mazen on purpose, you bring them to Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is not around, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to eat from the Maaser Sheni. And the Mazen means that's when the Beis HaMikdash is around, you can't do Maaser Sheni. But the Rambam says, no, you're allowed to bring Maaser Sheni. So how can it be? From the first Mishnah, number two, he quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia. That's the second part of the Ravid. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, doing the pigeon of Maaser Sheni, can only happen if the Beis HaMikdash is around. So he doesn't understand this. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal is a beautiful piece on the Inyan of Kedushas Yerushalayim the HaMikdash, and he extends this and says, why, obviously the Ravid's not going to say this maybe, but the Ravid, it's even stronger than what the Ravid said. The Rambam himself contradicts himself in many other places. He gives three examples of where. Just as one example that, he says that when you eat Maaser Sheni, you have to, one of the obligations is you can eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim, but it has to be a place where you can see the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, you can't see the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Beis HaMikdash there. So how can it be? And many other places that he says it. So basically this is a whole lumdus in understanding the Rambam and understanding why the Rambam held this way. Rav Aaron goes many, many pages explaining it. Rav Aaron is not the only one. Many people have tried to tackle this Rambam to understand what the Rambam means. Many assert that the Rambam himself isn't going that far. And that he said that technically, what he's saying is technically we should really be able to bring korbanos. Nowadays we can't go up to the Beis HaMikdash because we all have tumas mace. And there are many other reasons as well. The kubinus or kare. So we can't do it. So technically, it just doesn't work out for us. But really, a person might be able to do that. And what he's basically extending the Rambam, Lekulei Alma, is a shita that Yerushalayim has inherent kedusha that cannot be taken away because of the Shechina or because Kutchud Lasid Lavo, whatever the reason is. And it happens to be this is as much as this might be a das yochid. Look at this very, very interesting thing in number two. We read in last week's parsha, right? That's just 1 week off. Could have said this week's parsha, but last week's parsha, not so bad. That I was also going to say, this is the parsha 1967. This is the parsha that they read. I don't know if that's true. And I was going to do it on the computer, but I didn't go back that far. You know, there's one of these things you can do the calendar, and I didn't go back to 1967. So it says, maybe we don't have to find out when your bar mitzvah is. I'm going to mail out people from 1967. So it says like this. It says the pasuk says in last week's parsha when it's talking about the klolos that Bnei Yisrael will get. And unfortunately, I looked through this and I said, oh, this is the pasuk of last week's parsha. Like we did 2 weeks ago when we did about Yom HaTzmun, and he said, "Oh, it was the Haftorah last week." I said, "Oh, yeah, of course." V'nasati. So one of the klolos that Hashem is going to bring if we don't follow His ways is v'nasati es areichem charba, that He's going to basically leave our cities in ruin. He will lay our cities in ruin. V'hashmisi v'hashmosi. F mikdashchem, and I will leave your mikdash desolate. Right? What is that talking about more than the Beis HaMikdash? V'lo arich b'reach nichochem, and I will not savor in your aroma. Specifically talking about the korbanos. So the Netziv in his commentary, and this is a famously quoted Netziv, basically says as follows. This is in number three, and he says v'reach nichoch da'afo gav sheha mikdash shumam, that even though it's desolate, mikol makom efshar. That after Chorban Bayis Sheni, this is actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Bizman Bayis Sheni, Ad Chorban Beitar Sha'az Necharesh Ha'Hechel Medrash HaMebeach Me'ar Od HaMizbeach Kiyem Bekriva Lo Psachim, that they used to bring Korban Pesach even though there was no Beis HaMikdash around. It says in Sanhedrin Shehayu Az Ma'avirin Es Hashanah B'Shul Psachim. Why? Adol Rak Psachim Bekriva. Only Psachim they are allowed to bring. Why? Delo K'sivei Reach Nicharach. Psachim is the only, by Korban Pesach, it is the only Korban that it doesn't write Reach Nicharach. It doesn't give the line of Reach Nicharach, and that's what the Pasuk is talking about. You won't be able to bring your Reach Nicharach. That's the Klolo we'll get. We're in the state of this Klolo, because we don't have the base of Mitzvah. So in the Nitziv, even though he doesn't straight say it out nowadays, in his, this is in the Nitziv Ha'emek Dover on the Parsha, in his Sheol Satruz Meshiv Dover, he specifically lies out that a person could be marked Korban Pesach. And probably in the back of your head you remember this idea of Korban Pesach. This is not the first time that this is mentioned. Many people, almost every year, there's an article about people that want to bring Korban Pesach, because really, lahalacha, because we believe, Tuma Hutra Vetzibor, that if the entire congregation, the entire Tzibor, is Tuma Meis, there's one Korban you're allowed to still bring, and that's the Korban Pesach. And therefore, many have extended this. In fact, the Sheol Satruz Binyan Tzion extends this as well, and he says that it sounds right that a person should be able to bring Korban Pesach if it's not there. And the Maharis Chiyas, Rav Svi Hirsch, Talashov says that it's written in Mefarish in Josephus, right? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin too. You don't have to go to Josephus to see this, but that they bought Korban Pesach way after the time of Ayasheni. So it's a possibility. So what this leaves open is that obviously if this is mutter and the Tziv holds this mutter, the Rambam obviously, there has to be some sort of inherent kedusha in Yerushalayim that still exists today. Speaking about this, I don't know if this is actually true, but from what I've heard, there is a very large group of Lubavitcher Hasidim who live in Yerushalayim that before Pesach, they leave Yerushalayim because they're choshesh to this Rambam. That really, according to the Rambam, or maybe in the Tziv too, you're machayev to bring Korban Pesach. So why are you not bringing Korban Pesach? So you're going to say, because the Rambam says you don't have to, because everybody else might. So they leave Yerushalayim. Apparently some of the briskers do this as well.
Did you have the Zrik for the Korban Pesach?
Zrik is the, yeah. Why not? Oh, there's no mizbeach, right? So they write about, yeah, they write about that the yeah, they write here that they in the time after the Beis HaMikdash, they build the mizbeach, the Gemara Sanhedrin says.
And where do they do it? Where do they actually go?
Yeah, why can't you do it where the mikdash
is?
Right, so that is, there's some very serious problems with, do we consider it now? Are we too mismate, so you can't go up there? Maybe there's certain places you can go up, and that place is close enough, but really the Korban Pesach can be brought. It can be brought anywhere, Mechutz Yerushalayim, meaning not Mechutz Yerushalayim anywhere, so it could be brought by, you could go by the Kotel and do it. So, that's apparently one of the sheets, right? And this is obviously, according to the Rambam, let me extend this and say, according to the Rambam, it must be Mutra to go to on Har HaBayis. If he says he could be Makar Korbanos, he can go on Har HaBayis. Obviously, many disagree with this as well. One of the possibilities in extending Kedushas Yerushalayim is something that the Rav extended. And if you look at number 4 in Rav Aaron Sefer, in the Perach Mata Aaron, so he quotes the Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, which is not something that's very common, by the way. Rav Aaron Shear, that I remember, did not quote the Rav a lot, and in fact, if somebody, when he gave a pshat, and if it was against the Rav, and you said, yeah, but the Rav doesn't say that, and he says, so? Am I my brother? I'm not my brother. I can say different pshatim too. I can be against my brother. And so here he quotes, I kind of get two zechusim, be able to quote the Rav and quote the Rav Aaron. It reminds me of when I was also in yeshiva, when I was in yeshiva at Kotel and I had my bechina for YU. So we were learning, at that time we were learning brachos, and so the boichin came in and basically, the way that this worked was is that he tells you what are you learning and then he asks you a question. So I was basically learning, and I was learning with Hashanah Benetov Bruce, and he says, I bet you on this thing, he's going to ask you a famous Shiloh. He says, let me show you a great Sefer. I had never heard of it before. It was called the Am Mordechai. It was Rav Willig's Sefer. So Rav Willig in the Sefer quotes Rav Schechter, who heard something from the Rav. So he asked me this question, and I think, the Am Mordechai, Rabbi Willig discusses this in the name of Rav Schechter, who quotes it in the name of the Rav. So the Baruch looks at me, and he goes, okay, what year do you want to be? Because he said, wow, you quoted three people, three Rosh Yeshiva, you win the prize, I guess you also win a prize, three Rosh Yeshiva at that time. But, so this is the same thing. But here he says, Shamati Teretz, if you go to number 4, Teretz Nifla al, Hakitcha Zeis, Mi'afi Agoin Rav Maran Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Zatzal. Shabi Enes, David Kiddush HaZara, Kamo, Shamiris HaGemara, B'Mesech HaZvach. The Gemara says HaZvach, and it really is very interesting. There really was two types of Kedusha. There was Shlomo HaMelech and David. We know David was the king. He made Yerushalayim his capital. And he made Yerushalayim, he was Mekadosh Yerushalayim. But clearly, he wasn't able to be Mekadosh it with the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, because there was no Beis HaMikdash when he was around. So, Begam Shlomo Kiddush HaZara, Omnam HaKedusha, says Ali Day Shlomo, Miksa Kedusha Shnuya Miuchedes, Mi HaKedusha Shenes Ali Day David. There has to be two types of Kedushas. So he basically says that he nay Kedusha Tolim Yerushalayim, there are two types of Kedushas. Kedusha Yerushalayim, the Gabe Achilas, Kochikalim, Isasheni, Kedushas Harabais, the Gabe Shluch Zvachim, right? So he basically extends this, and he says there's a big difference between the two things. And basically, there's a Kedusha of David HaMelech, and it's a Kedusha of Shlomo HaMelech. The Kedusha of Shlomo HaMelech was the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash. It was the Kedusha of bringing Korbanos, of bringing Maaseh Sheni, of doing all the fun things that we did in the Beit HaMikdash. But the Kedusha of David HaMelech was simply that. It was a Kedusha of Yerushalayim, and inherently, basically proclaimed that here's where the Shechina is, and Yerushalayim is always Kaddish, the Olam Vayed, and that's it, end of story. And therefore, we can explain, this is not necessarily explaining the Rambam, we don't have to go as far as explaining the Rambam and say, it's not a stira to say that even though the Beis HaMikdash does not stand in Yerushalayim anymore, there's still an inherent Kedusha in Yerushalayim. Now you might think that this is something that's pashut. We all know that there's an inherent Kedusha of Yerushalayim. The truth is that this appears to be somewhat of a chiddush. Not everybody agrees with this idea of there being an inherent Kedusha in Yerushalayim. And the shayla that will come up, which we'll discuss in a second, is, I think, a halacha l'maaseh shayla topical and mitzvah Hashem halacha shayla for us. So all of us one day, Mitzvah Hashem, will pick up and we'll move to Beit Shemesh. And the shaila would be, if a person finally decides that he's moving to Eretz Yisrael, does he have an obligation not to move to Beit Shemesh, but to move to Yerushalayim? So that would be an interesting shaila. And that shaila is discussed in a number of different places in modern-day poskim about this idea. So first and foremost, if you look at number five, the Tzitz Eliezer, so Tzitz Eliezer quotes the Chassam Sofer. Last week, we actually discussed this Chassam Sofer. This Chassam Sofer in Reish Lamed Gimel and Reish Lamed Dalet in Yeridea, in Reish Lamed Gimel is where we quoted last week about Lag BaOmer, right? There's actually a Rosh Tevos for this, I heard from another Mgadol, of this, to remembering, how do you remember Lag BaOmer? We said last week, Chassam Sofer was very, very against Lag BaOmer. He's very, very against it. He doesn't understand how you could do a yontif. We did the whole thing. So he said the Rosh Tevos to remember it is Ra Lag. That it's bad to have Lag BaOmer. And that's why Reish Lamed Gimel. So when I was going through this tshuva, I didn't realize that this was the same tshuva I quoted the week before. I'm reading it and go, Reish Lamed Gimel, that sounds very familiar. And then I started reading it and I realized this is the tshuva. So in that tshuva, he extends as follows. If you look at the Tzitz Eliezer, actually, the Tzitz Eliezer takes a few words and he doesn't actually say this. I went through the tshuvas, but he says it's pretty similar to this. Right, he's to go to Yerushalayim. So that's what the basis of the shaila is going to be. That it's not just Tzama Shaila about moving to Yerushalayim, but what happens in the case, and this happens, where the wife says, I want to move to Yerushalayim, or the husband says, I want to move to Yerushalayim, and the spouse says, listen, I'm already picking up and moving away from my parents and from your in-laws who I love so much. What more do you want from me? I want to live with all my friends in Beit Shemesh. You're going to make me move to Yerushalayim. So the question is, does the Gemara in Kesuvos, does that apply nowadays? The Gemara says Meforish that a person is she could take her ksuba away for that reason, right? There's a famous story you probably know about a famous Rosh Hashiva who was an Rosh Hashiva at that time who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he was asked to be a Rosh Hashiva in a very large yeshiva, and his wife said, nothing doing. I'm a Yerushalmi, I've lived in Yerushalayim my entire life, we have to live in Yerushalayim. And he said, nothing doing here too, I'm going to be a Rosh Hashiva in a big yeshiva. And so it turned out that she was right and he was right, meaning she was really right, because she had to get a hefer meir rabbanon, because she refused to accept to get a get. She says, I don't want a get. I'm following the halacha, Gemara Ksuvos. So the question is, are we going to extend that to Yerushalayim? That is really the crux of the shaila. Because that's a really halacha l'maaseh shaila. Well, can you live in Yerushalayim? Okay, so maybe we were wrong and you won't get the zechuyos, so you will. But here's a real shaila. A husband brings a wife to court and she says, here's what the problem is. Right? He wants to live by Angel's Bakery and she wants to live by, who knows, by Eilat. So what would be Kush Katif, whatever. Okay. So first let's discuss what the Chassam Sofer says. So he says, this is the Tzitz Eliezer talking, the Yesh Lahosif, Ala Oymer Hadvarim, that the Ksam Sofer says, on Kedusha Shel Yushalayim, Kedusha Elyon, Kedusha Shar Arasos, Ben Yotah Klal, Eno Tolik Klal, that Plukta E Kedusha Rishonah Kedusha Vasid Lavo, E Lo Kedusha. This is a very important point. And that is that people, people, Gedolim have taken this Rambam, and it's basically said, you're either on two sides, you can't be on the fence here. You're on either two sides of the fence. The first side is, if you hold like the Rambam, you believe there's an inherent Kedusha in Yerushalayim. If you hold like the Ravid, there is no inherent Kedusha in Yerushalayim. Right? And that's two sides of the coin. And if there's that's the two sides of the coin, the other side is gonna say that if your wife wants to move Yerushalayim, you say thank you very much, but that doesn't apply anymore because the Beis HaMikdash isn't around, the Kedusha isn't there. If she's Sfardi and chose like the Rambam, then you might be in trouble. So he says no. The Ksam Sofer says, one thing has absolutely nothing to do with the other. I recognize this is a machloikis, but Lekuliyama, everybody agreed. Why? And he says that it doesn't have to do with Kedusha Lasid Labo. V'nichitzas hi b'chlal hatukufas u'v'chol hazman u'metam chai time lanu. What's the reason? She'al dover mifnei ki sham tiva Hashem es habracha chayim ad ha'olam v'kedushas ha'olionu shel Yerushalayim v'mnei shishar shemayim. Right? This is the Shar Shemayim. There's no machlokes over here. Everybody knows about the Rambam writes about the Shechina Shorim Yushalayim. What are we? We just were born? Well, I mean, what are we facing here? We're facing Mizrah. We're facing Yushalayim. So he says there's no Shaila here. This was the Stam Sofer held. However, what's interesting is that if you turn the page, so in number six, the Stam Sofer is not so sure about extending this to nowadays. He got two real tshuvas about this. In Reish Lama Gimel, Reish Lama Dalet, where he asks the question whether or not a person is Machayev to move to Yerushalayim. If he's an Oleh Chadash, and he wants to move to a certain place, is he Machayev to go to Yerushalayim? So he actually quotes, which I underlined in number 6, I quoted the Rashbam, which he actually disagrees with in the Gemara, where he says there's two reasons why a person should live in Yerushalayim. Now, so then the Shah is going to be twofold. The first Shah is going to be, you want to tell me you have to live in Yerushalayim? Fine, that's the old city. But you're going to tell me in the quote-unquote new city, in the new Yerushalayim, they're making, you know, all these new things now, and then who knows what's what? You know, they say a big shiloh by Purim, right? What's Harnof? Is Harnof a Duchas Chaimim? Nobody knows. So now, Ramos and all these different places. So now, is there any godless in living even there? So that's really what he discusses. He's asked, I can't live in the old city of Yerushalayim, in Melo, but until 1967, it wasn't... too possible. Sometimes at some ages it was, but it wasn't very possible. So he says, according to the Rashbam, he extends two reasons that you should live in the malos of living even close outside Yerushalayim. Why? So he says, mivnei, right? The person you would think would want to be closer to Yerushalayim, closer to the mikdash, also to be farther away from the other nations, specifically there, right? Who wants to be close to Jordan? Who wants to be close to Syria? Whatever the situation. So he actually says that's not true. A person might want to be farther away from the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, for obvious reasons. And he's not so sure whether or not there's actually a mitzvah nowadays, certainly Mechutz Yerushalayim, of a person has to be Oyla. Now obviously, as was mentioned, this is a halacha l'maaseh shaila when it comes to this very big question of a husband or a wife wanting to move to Yerushalayim, and the husband or the spouse doesn't want to. So he doesn't really come up with an answer. Sitz Eliezer basically answers for him in number 7, where he extends this and says that the answer is very simple. And the answer is that no, that's not true. This is what he postulates by himself at Sitz Eliezer. Berama isa latef in Yerushalayim lagur b'makom acher b'eret Yisrael nirushu rak lahagerim b'ira atika b'toch gevula hamus Yerushalayim, right? Tayyam as avam Yerushalayim hachadasha en isa latef yimenu lagur the Makam Acher Be'eretz Yisrael. That if a person actually lived in Yerushalayim, even a harder Shaila you would think, absolutely not. A person is allowed to move to any place that he wants to, as long as he doesn't live in the old city. If you live in the old city, then you're stuck. There, most people would agree, there's certainly the inherent Kedusha. But when it comes to the new city, that's the Shaila. This is also discussed in number 5, when the Zadim of Sternbach discusses this, when he asks the following Shaila. He asks, is a person... based on what we said before, the Sicilianza goes into this too, really asking the question about the ideas of the Gemara and Kesuvos. So he happens to think, he quotes basically both reasons, and the underlying part, below, Matsinu Chomos La'olos Yushalayim, La'gor Mipnei, Sha'am Mikdash, a Kodesh Yoser. So we don't really see that necessarily nowadays. The in came, the other underlying part, Hu Hadin Mechol Ha'ir Yushalayim, Af in Kedusha Yoser Mishar Arim B'Yisrael. So you would say that maybe it doesn't have that thing. But then he says, but maybe came near Asvara Shele Inyon Hamalul Agor Shama Adif Misha Ari Yisrael Afilu Ein Ba Kedusha. The came which a Koro is close to the Yerushalayim. Matzino Lagor Shama Kadesh Yachol Hagia Benaklim Mekomos Hakadoshim Velo Matzino Mitzvah Lagor Bishlam Dafka. Then he quotes the Machlokes between the the Tashmis and the Radbaz, whether or not it's a mitzvah, where the Tashbis, for technical reasons, says that it is a mitzvah, and the Radbaz says, no, it's not, the Brisker Rav, which way he follows is that exactly. And he thinks that probably it is, it's better to live in Yerushalayim. I'm not sure at this time, probably in this time already he lived in Meir Sharim. So that would be the Shiloh there. So certainly what we see is that, yes, we can get into this halakhic discussion of what's what, but it seems to me that the bottom line is that when it comes to living in Yerushalayim, so it might not be the actual mitzvah, and you might not hold like the Rambam and Kushu Los Lobo, but maybe it has nothing to do with that. The fact that the Shechina is there, so that extends Yerushalayim to a different level. So just want to end off with, since this is the Orach Chaim Shir, I've tried to find very, very hard to find something that's in the Orach Chaim to discuss, but actually it was easier than I thought. And that is a din, as we know, in Simon Tzadik Dalet, and that is that a person has to face Mizrach in the America. V'makom l'ispalo m'haya omeg b'chutz l'aretz yafti upono k'neged Eretz Yisrael. He has to move his face to Eretz Yisrael. V'ikale gam Yerushalayim v'amikdash of the base kodesh kodeshim. V'haya omeg b'Eretz Yisrael yafti upono k'neged Yerushalayim. And if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you always have to face Yerushalayim. And then he says v'ikale gam l'mikdash b'Eretz Yisrael kodesh kodeshim. And if you're, by the way, standing by the Kotel, so you shouldn't face Mizrach, you should move a little bit towards the Kodesh Kodoshim. Haya Omer B'Yerushalayim, what if a person is in Yerushalayim? Yachsi part of the Mikdash, the Kavin Gam came, the base Kodesh Kodoshim. Haya Omer, Achrei Kapar is fine. So then he says, in Mizpala, so then the interesting thing here is, the Gemara says in Brachas Lamed, this comes from a Beforish Gemara, the Gemara says in Daf Lamed, in Brachas as follows, that a person should be Mechavin Libo Keneged Yerushalayim, his heart should face Yerushalayim, always. So the Tosa says that the Dafka, the Gemara uses the Lashon Libo V'lo Pano, which means that really, it doesn't mean that a person really has to face Mizrach when he's davening. He has to have in his heart has to be in the right place. And the Rif and the Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, you always have to have this Kavana. I'm sorry, the Tosa says, The Tosa says it's talking about Panov and Lev, that you have to have both focused on Yerushalayim. Where the Riff and the Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, it's a spiritual state. You have to have facing Yerushalayim. You have to realize who you're standing in front of, where the Shechina is on the highest level, and that is in Yerushalayim. So the question is, of course, the famous Shiloh, what happens in a shul that's not facing Mizrach? What should you do? Right? Not so long ago, we had a Beit Medrash that was not only facing not Mizrach, it was facing the opposite of Mizrach. So are we going to extend this halacha and say you have to, when you're davening Shmon Esrei, you have to turn around, right? So you'll be davening this way, even though the Aron Kodesh is this way. So the question is, when you have a stira between the, we hold that the Aron Kodesh is in the shul, the highest form of the Shechina is Shoira in the Aron Kodesh, so where do you face? So, if you just look at the Ramah, what the Ramah says on this siman, he says, Hagah, we always refer to Mizrach, but Mizrach obviously is not every place. If you're in China, it's probably not Mizrach or whatever. So he just points that out that by us it's Mizrach. Okay. So look at number 9, the Mishnah Berurah. The Eino Machzir Mechul. The Fish Tzarch Lispal Lestad Mizrach. You have to face Mizrach. A person should make sure to have his Sefer Torah in the shul, should be in the Mizrach wall. Right, it should be closer, meaning somewhat on the side. So obviously not the al kain of yachol panim lo lamaarov. Right, shouldn't be totally opposite. Shall you achriya am lehecha? So according to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Magen Avraham, by the way, he holds the halacha that a person should always face Mizrach no matter what. So if you've ever been in the main base medrash in Yeshiva University, you probably see this stira, because there are others that hold, no, you can't be, you have to be covered to the Aron Kodesh, to the Shekhinah is right there, and so you have basically three shitas in YU that I'm familiar with. One shita, you face the Aron Kodesh, right? So you face the Aron Kodesh. So, yeah, and so in YU, the Aron Kodesh is this way. So you have people who daven like this, but then you really have the people who say, no, you're daven like this, and then you have people, and like this said, no, you should turn a little bit. So they daven like this. So you have three, you walk into the base medrash, so the Cardinals would get very, very confused. If they came in during davening, they would see this, this, and this. I don't think anybody turns around. So it's a machoik. So it's funny because the, to quote again, the Meshiv Dover, the Netziv, was very upset by this. Meshiv Dover was asked a shaila about a shul that happened to face the Mizrach. The building next to the Mizrach was a church. So they said that if you build it, it looks like we're davening to the church. And in fact, here in the Shulchan Aruch, they discuss whether or not you should actually make it Mizrach. Because the sun is going to be coming up when you're davening, and you're going to have a window over here, and it looks like you're davening to the sun, and maybe that's not the best thing, maybe you should move it over to the corner, but we probably don't follow that. So the Meshav Dabra says, what are you talking about? The most important thing is to face where the Shekhinah is, the Makom of the Shekhinah, Eretz Yisrael, really going farther to Yerushalayim. And don't worry about it. And further, he says, I don't understand. The Mishnah Berurah says, Mithorish, that a person should follow this way. So he says, what's going on here? The Magen Avraham says this, that this is what the halach is. How come people don't do that? You see in some shuls. So I think the answer is maybe somewhat simple in that when you have a steer between the Shekhinah, where the Shekhinah is now, so you don't want to, the Kabbalistic way, it's not appropriate for a person to turn away from where the Aron Kodesh is. And that's probably why people don't follow this way. But what we certainly see is that this is in you where your heart has to be in the right place. Your heart always has to be facing Yerushalayim. And that is Lekulayama, nobody disagrees. Meaning, it's not like an anti-Zionist view that your heart should always be facing Uganda. No, everybody holds Yerushalayim. This is a tremendous Kodesh that we have Yerushalayim nowadays. So, just to end off, the Rav Chaim, it's very interesting, Rav Chaim brings a steer here, which would make a lot of sense. The Rambam is soister himself, it appears to be soister himself in two places. The Rambam says, in one place, that a person has to have kavana only for the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Right? This is the Rambam Perek Vav of Hilchos Tefillah. A person has to kavana for only the first part of the first part. And after that, if he doesn't have kavana, what can you do? And in Perek Dalet, he says, a person has kavana for all of Shemoneh Esrei. What's the stira? So Rav Chaim says, the stira is very simple. The stira is exactly what we just said. Are you supposed to be mekaven libo or pano? So he says, if you perish hamilim, if you don't understand the simple words, then you're in trouble. Then you have to, at least for the first bracha, you have to have it. But if you don't have, you don't understand what the words mean, for the rest of it, fine, there's no problem. But so what does he mean in halacha dalet when he says a person has to be mekaven libo, that he has to have kavana for all? That's kavana of where you're standing. If a person doesn't know where he's standing, meaning not the physical place he's standing, but he's davening to Hashem, he's supposed to be facing the Kodesh Kodoshim, he's supposed to be facing Yerushalayim, so then a person has to repeat his davening. And that might be halacha l'maisa, according to the Rambam, that if a person really finds himself in a state where he's totally oblivious or whatever the situation is, he might have to repeat it. So what we certainly see is the importance of Kedushas Yerushalayim. Whether or not you hold like the Rambam is quite questionable, as we said, where he holds that mamash you can bring kabonos, or like in the Tziv, where you could bring Korban Pesach nowadays. The fact is, or we hold like the Rav, as the Rav said, is that there's an inherent Kedusha, the Kedusha of David HaMelech. David HaMelech showed us that you don't need Kedusha with the Beis HaMikdash, for he was Mekadosh the first time Yerushalayim without having a Beis HaMikdash. And it's still the inherent Kedusha, because Tam Sofer says this is where the Shechina is Shoreh. This is Shar HaShemayim. This is where everything's happening. So then, okay, halacha l'maaseh, you can go into a shaila whether or not a person has to move to Yerushalayim, whether a person could be get if a person wants to move to Yerushalayim, the other one doesn't want to move to Yerushalayim. But the bottom line is what we read in the end. Sarach l'kavim libo, where can I get Yerushalayim? Your heart always has to be in Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitei Torah, that the Torah is always facing Yerushalayim. And that's what we truly believe. Something that I heard tonight, which is definitely true, is one of the shilas that they're asking about the Indian givers, about the Whig shila, is why all of a sudden did this come up now, right? If you look at the history, I got a very nice email from, I have no idea who, but I mean, it was forwarded to me from somebody else, and he basically gives the timeline and showing how many tshuvas amazingly discussed this, right? This is something that was discussed by Rav Moshe and Tshuva Mefarish. This is something discussed by Rav Sternbach, has a over 10-page tshuva on this. He discusses it again in an unwritten tshuva. He discussed it again in his new chelet. It was discussed by Rav Shlomo Zalman. So many people discussed it. So what happened all of a sudden? Why is this all such a tumult? So I think it was Rabbi Baum who extended that he thinks that it has to do with Kinyan Tzion, Dvar Hashem Yishalayim. Baruch Hashem, we don't rely on Vilna anymore. We don't rely on Berlin anymore. We don't rely on Washington Heights, whatever the situation is. Kinyan Tzion Tzion, Dvar Hashem Yishalayim. When the Dvar Hashem Yishalayim, when a Rabbi Yashuv gets up, the Pesach who's living where in Yishalayim, so people have to listen to that. When Rav Shlomo Zalman got up and he had a Pesach, people listened to it. Because that's where the Torah emanates from. And either Baruch Hashem or hopefully it will be disseminated properly, but you see how when a person says one thing, within a few hours, they already had the email Pesach already out that people can read. So what one thing that we do see is that the godless of Yerushalayim, this wouldn't be possible without 1967. The Malkum Torah that's in Yerushalayim now, where the Torah should emanate from, wouldn't have been without, as we read in the first one, where Avad Yosef says, without this unbelievable, tremendous miracle that Hashem gave us. And sometimes we have to look back on it and realize, for somebody who unfortunately, Baruch Hashem on one hand, and the unfortunate on the other side, I grew up my entire life with Yerushalayim, so I don't know what it is to be without a Kosel. I don't know what it is not to be able to go to the Kosel. To me, the only little thing I can remember is thinking in my mind now that there are certain parts of Eretz Yisrael I can't go to anymore. Right? You have to go in the bus and go in and like you're a tourist. But Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, this is the Kedusha of Yerushalayim that we have. My whole life I was there to go through it. But on the other hand, I have to step back and realize what it was for 1900 years without having Yerushalayim. And we have to realize that this is the first step. Obviously the second step is the Mirtz Hashem, that we should be able to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash that we'll see very, very soon. B'mheir v'meinu.